Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are a couple of dudes. I like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan!
What's up?
If you went to a family reunion yesterday...
Oh, boy.
And...
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
Let's cut through this stupid bit that we do at the beginning and get human.
If you were a member of my family...
I imagine it would be tough for you to tell them that you don't know anything about Alex Jones.
It would be harder.
But they'd be thrilled to tell them that you do a podcast with a guy who knows a lot about him.
That's exactly how it went.
And this is our podcast where I know a lot about Alex Jones...
And I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
I've been, Jordan, if I can be perfectly honest with you, I've been going on a delightful spice adventure for the last couple days.
Yes!
And you notice I have my hot
all
sauces
three are open
that I bought in Austin, Texas have finally come in the mail since they're too big to be taken on a plane. And I've been having a blast. I just wanted to put that out into the universe. Having a delightful time with this spice. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think you need to get a new passport, Dan.
Oh, man. I'm being attacked.
Yeah.
I do need to get a new passport, though. Will have expired by now.
Yeah. You should have gotten it about a year and a half before it expired.
So, Jordan, today we have a delightful show. We're back in 2009.
Yes.
We're going to be going over some stuff. But before we do... I feel like I want to throw a wrench into the gears.
All right. I'm liking wrenches.
I've always, been trying to look for ways to expand on what this show is, what this podcast is all about.
God, your giddy joy is really, as you tease this out, it is driving me insane.
I want to throw some wrenches into the gears, and so I have here a habanero pepper. I am going to eat this while I allow you to take over the show.
Do what now?
I throw the show into your hands. Those are the people who are new policy wonks that need to give a shout out to.
All right.
And for now, and I'll say this, I have never eaten a habanero before. I have no idea how I'm going to respond to this.
I genuinely have no idea what's about to happen.
I've had jalapenos before. There's no doubt about that.
All right.
This is a new experience for me. So now
are we a gimmick show now?
Yeah, exactly.
Do we want a soundboard?
Anyway, here we go. Jordan, take over the show.
Alrighty. Guys, do you know what isn't eating a habanero pepper right now? That's our new donors, ladies and gentlemen. Our first new donor, we would like to give a huge shout out to Peter. Welcome to the Policy Wonks, Peter.
Don't do that right while I'm swallowing.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you,
Peter. Hey, thank you very much, Peter. And our next policy wonk has actually bumped up her donorship.
No, just came straight in.
Oh, she came straight in?
Yep.
Good heavens. She came straight in at the globalist level. Thank you very much, Larissa.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. And
thank you so much, Larissa.
Absolutely. How are we doing, Dan?
Totally fine.
Oh.
This is very disappointing.
This is the worst wrench you have ever thrown. You threw a tiny wrench into the giant mesher from Fern Gully. I don't know why that was the first thought I had.
I legitimately expected that to be interesting in some way. Or at least fun.
I know. I could see it in your face. You were so excited.
I was weird pre-show because I had this I was going to spring on you. It was going to be like, I don't know if Jordan's going to enjoy this. I don't think you did, and I give it a B, quite frankly.
I was fine with it.
I expected to be, like, really hurt by this.
Yeah.
I expected to be like, ooh, ooh, nah.
You know, I did not expect much to, you're a spice guy. You like spices, things, and spice like that. If I took a bite out of that, if I took a bite out of that, I would cry. I would cry like a thresher in Fern Gully.
I've historically not been a pepper guy, and that's why it kind of like had me worried, had me shook a little bit.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, like we're at this point now where I feel.
Oh my God, you started bleeding from the eyes.
Oh no. I feel like the way we set the opening of the show has become so entrenched in this, these little tiny bits that we do that I was trying to throw a curveball.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to work. It's a curveball.
I feel like we mix up our bits. It's not like we do the same bit every time. We try and add, and now
this is one of them that we've tried.
Fair enough.
It two is a zero.
Fair enough. Like all opening bits.
Yeah, oh well. So now let's get to today's show. Here, Jordan, is an out-of-context drop from today's episode.
Okay.
So much of what we hear in Patriot mythology isn't real.
Ooh, interesting, Alex. Very much out of context.
All right, all right. I'm interested to see where that goes.
Just spoiler alert, that's him talking to like a sovereign citizen caller and being all like, right. Maybe you shouldn't put too much stock in saying Dooble Kane in court and that shit. And that getting you off the hook. But it also applies to everything else Alex believes in. Patriot mythology, all not true.
Yeah. Yeah. So
today, Jordan, we're going to be going over the February 6th to February 10th episodes of The Alex Jones Show in 2009. And the reason we have such a wide swath there is because there's a lot of dead air. There's a lot of downtime.
Right.
And we need to pick up the speed because we need to get to the point where the Tea Party really kicks off. And we really get to see how long does it take Alex to change from looking at the board, all of those 2009 positions into his much more in line with the Koch brothers position.
Right.
And so we need to get to
we got to steamroll along to that.
We need to get to the end of February to see how he responds to the massive public Tea Party stuff happening. And so we start on February 6th. Alex is launching a new narrative that is really interesting and will carry through, the entirety of what we cover on today's episode.
All right. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
It's about the bees are dying. Mm. Because in 2009 was whenever that first started to get, like, it had been happening for like 10 years before that, but people started to really notice in 2009, they were like, where are all the fucking bees going? There's going to be no food if we don't have bees. So I assume that Alex Jones is going to jump on the back of that, ignore the whole Obama thing. Like, really, he's already said all he's going to say, which is that Obama's a terrible president. So it's time to get down to the bottom of the bees. And Dan, here's where I think he's going to go with this.
First of all, let me just stop you before you go any further.
Okay.
You've never been more right. So where do you think he goes?
All right. I'm going to go with, and actually in a complete turnaround for him, he is going to find the most reasonable explanation. He's not going to go with like chemtrails or the magnetic poles reversing. What he is going to say is, I'm going to go with man-made climate change, and it's time to regulate the oil companies in order to keep this from continuing.
Nope.
And frankly, in a left-field turn, he's going to say
hold on.
That a global carbon tax is the best way to do
Pump
it.
Pump the brakes. Did you just say, and frankly? Did you say, and frankly?
I didn't. but I kind of want to now.
You're incorrect about your guess, though. Alex is going to say that the globalists are hoarding the bees.
Oh, okay.
They're all actually right. At a bee summer resort that the globalists... No.
That actually sounds fun.
None of this is correct. Here is Alex's narrative.
8 states and growing are telling the federal government it is completely rogue and criminal, that they will not put up with gun confiscation, concentration camps, stage terror attacks, you name it. Increasing number of states declaring sovereignty. This article by Kurt Nimmo will be going over it early in this hour.
He goes over it a lot, not just in that next hour. So we got this story here, and it's actually a really interesting thing. In the history of our country, generally speaking, state legislatures don't get together to say, like, hey, the law is the law. Remember that, federal government. But mysteriously, a month or so after a black guy gets elected, a bunch of states get together and have their legislature put together a bunch of bills and resolutions that they put through that are directly delivered to the president and the Speaker of the House.
Right.
That just say, hey, we're letting you know the law is the law. Don't be encroaching.
Wait, what?
That's all it is.
That really happened?
Yes. It's insane.
Legislatures got together and wrote a resolution.
You can find all of these.
And they mailed it to the Speaker of the House. And it said, don't tread on tea?
Basically.
Okay.
There's a lot of states that introduced these House resolutions in the state houses, not in the actual, like, federal House of Representatives.
Right. But, no, that I put together.
So they would be sent to the president if they passed and became accepted resolutions. So that's one piece of it. But the second piece of it, and I need to stress this, is these states are all coordinating. These are all almost identical resolutions in these states. Right. I've read them. They're almost all identical, and I think that they're being operated by people who may or may not show up on our episode today.
Really?
Yeah, guests.
On Alex?
Yeah, because they're weirdo patriot assholes.
Because all of these bills are, like, actually written by the Heritage Foundation. Like,
no, I don't think so.
Like, something along, like, most, well, like the anti-
patriot version of the Heritage
Foundation.
Yeah,
well, yeah, the anti-abortion stuff, all of that is written by the Heritage Foundation.
It might be the Heritage Foundation. Yeah. It might actually be them.
Like, they're the ones who write all these bills. I don't know if a Republican lawmaker has ever actually learned to read.
It's some patriot, bill mill. Or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I looked into all this and was, and frankly, I looked into this. So you can find bill trackers and stuff like that, and you can find out what happened with these resolutions.
Bill trackers is an amazing dude to get a drink with.
So I found the one in Washington State that got introduced. The bill just sort of sat there, nobody did it, and nobody acted on it, so it never got passed and never got put through. The main one that Alex talks about, because it was the one that was introduced in, earliest, I believe, at least that's the sense I got from listening to Alex's show, was in New Hampshire. And I looked that up, and it turns out that the bill is listed as, quote, inexpedient to legislate, which I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means. So I had to do some looking. I had to do some digging into it.
Legally, what is inexpedient to, okay.
That's New Hampshire code for, quote, this bill is dead and will not be reconsidered.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So that one's dead. Arizona, the House resolution passed 34-24. But
yeah, I was going to say, they probably passed a no black presidents bill at the same time.
Well, it's important to point out that the Arizona bill only passed, there was someone who went on record and said this, that it only passed because the language of it was very specific that it's non-binding in any way.
Okay.
So it's just basically shaking your fist at Obama.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So,
strange that a state filled with 90% old people would shake its fist on a metaphorical lawn at a black person.
Yeah. So,
who could have guessed?
So Montana introduced a version of this.
Oh, yeah.
The bill was introduced and failed as a bill. So it was then reintroduced as a resolution, quote, generally articulating Montana's rights under the U.S. Constitution, and it once again failed. Because everyone's like, all you're saying is we, like, laws are laws. We don't need to do this.
Yeah.
So Michigan, the version that was introduced there, died in committee, the Committee of Government Operations. My home state, Missouri, this one's weird, their version, H.R. 212, was a little bit rangy. Quote, it declares Missouri's sovereignty under the 10th Amendment and urges the United States Congress to reject the passage of Federal Freedom of Choice Act, which prohibits regulations on abortion. So they tried to
scourge
a horse.
In a double whammy.
Yeah.
They were like, the law is the law, but at the same time, please don't make any more laws.
About abortion, please.
They
tried to Frankenstein's monster, the 10th Amendment and abortion, into this H.R. 212.
That sounds very Missourian to do.
This bill was deemed unpassable in the Missouri House. So it was
even Missouri was like, whoa, guys.
Well, cause it covered too much. You know, it was like, we can't get a consensus on this. So, it was replaced with H.R. 294, which just said, quote, urges the United States Congress to summarily reject the enactment of the Federal Freedom of Choice Act,
which classifies abortion
as a fundamental right and prohibits any restrictions on abortion.
So if I understand this correctly, they could not pass the law is the law, and you gotta remember that we're Missouri.
We are sovereign.
And the anti-abortion bill.
Yep.
But they could amazingly pass the anti-abortion bill.
It does appear.
So they don't even agree that the law is the law. But everybody's like, find a way, no abortions!
It appears that that's the case, yes, because 294 does appear to have passed the House. So, Alex.
God, people are fucked up.
Alex will end up talking to the guy responsible for this one. This is Oklahoma. This one is crazy.
I don't think you can not talk to a guy from Oklahoma.
What do you mean?
I mean, in this circumstance, I'm passing Arizona, Montana, all of that stuff. Boring. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma? I don't even really know anything about Oklahoma. I'm going to talk to a guy from Oklahoma on this.
Looks like a shallow pot.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Okay.
I want to hear what this dude has to say.
So his name is Charles Key, and he will come up on our episode, and he introduced the Joint Resolution 1003, which passed the House and the Senate, but then was vetoed by Governor Brad Henry, who did so because the language of the resolution strongly suggested that Oklahoma should send back federal tax money. And he was like, no, I don't want to do that. No one wants to do that. That will ruin all of our budget.
Governor, we would like you to sign this bill, the name of which is Shoot Oklahoma in the Dick.
Gotta veto that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no Shoot Oklahoma in the Dick bill.
So Charles Key said, fuck you, bro, and he reintroduced the bill as a House concurrent resolution, 1028.
What is the point of government?
And it passed the damn House again. Although with slightly diminished support, probably because of the points that Brad Henry brought up. Because it was a concurrent resolution, it did not need to go to the governor this time, and when it passed, it was sent along to Obama, Biden, and the Speaker of the House. And again,
how'd they do?
To reiterate,
how did they like that?
To reiterate, all the bill was, you could really boil it down to just the two words, watch it.
Yeah.
Or we got our eye on you.
Yeah.
Black guy.
Hey, we resent black people. You better know that.
It's really, really hard to look at this and not see that parallel. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, obviously.
Like, it's pretty much like, oh, you guys are shook. You whites are shook.
That should have been the moment Obama's like, reaching across the aisle ain't gonna happen on this one.
So you're saying,
and then he spent 8 years trying to reach across the aisle. 2 weeks in when you got 8 states being like, we're passing a vaguely racist bill.
Right.
You should have just been like, well, you don't count as states anymore. Oh, you want to declare sovereignty? Guess what? You're out!
And by the way, a lot of this is in direct response to Obama being elected.
Yeah, of course.
I know about the resolutions of this because we're years later and stuff, but these ones dying in committee and stuff like that, they happen in like March and April of 2009, whereas we're still in February. So I'm a little bit of an omniscient narrator.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you know that the reason these are being introduced is because it's fucking Obama.
Yeah.
And they're scared of him. Anyway, in this next clip, we get like, man, Alex is fucking weird. I never really know what to expect from him. I know him well, in many ways.
Right.
But he still surprises me.
You're the neighbor to a serial killer. You're like, I knew him well. I didn't see him serial killing, but.
Seemed like a decent guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that if
no,
the cops came.
None of us would.
But this was jarring to me.
Okay.
And so they then sell the message through popular culture, through public school, through college, that it's just the received, granted knowledge that it's true that more children is bad and that more children cost the public money, when it's actually children that are our future. And if they had any hope in this Ponzi scheme of big government and
not
Social Security and pensions, that we needed another baby boom.
This is not the part that surprises me.
I imagine not.
This part is right in line with his demographic shift ideas.
Yeah, we're not having enough white babies.
Right.
But that didn't happen in the United States. If you take out the giant immigrant influx, has about a 1.7, 1.8, depending on the year, population growth. That means for every two people, we lose more people each year.
Okay.
A mother and a father, on average, have 1.7 children, and they don't replace themselves. And I listen to talk radio now for the last week and a half since that mother had 8 babies. She already had a few children. She went in. She did
Octomom?
Hold on.
Octomomming this?
Hold on.
This isn't going to be an Octomom situation.
Hold on.
All right.
Of fertilization that's not in vitro.
It was.
She did a type where they normally put 5 to 8 embryos in. Most of them don't take. With her, she was very fertile.
Too fertile.
Being a equatorial creature. And boom.
Boom.
What?
They're now talking about, how dare her? We've got to pay for her. We've got to pay for her children. She's evil. She's bad. You know, whether it was a good decision or not for her to make, when the family's middle class and the grandparents are paying for it, that doesn't matter.
I don't care. I just think it's funny.
I do not
that
know
Alex
what
is,
his point is.
I don't care either, but I don't know and I don't care. I just love that Alex is coming to bat for Octomom. Like knowing what we
At
know.
At least she's got eight. Huh? How many do you have?
She has 14 now.
She has 14?
Yeah, 14
That's
kids.
At least 7.5 too many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said it, my man.
Well, for me, all.
But
all
I mean,
too many.
The only reason I kept that in is because it's fascinating that he's fine, he's cool with the Octomom, but then also, we should just call her Suleiman.
I don't know what equatorial.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
That's gross.
What does he mean by equatorial?
I think near the equator.
Right.
Of,
exactly.
Of lineage.
Because
they're fertile.
Of the world?
Because they're very fertile, the people from near the equator.
Does he think she's actually a volcano?
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the Ring of Fire, and thus prone to, well.
Volcanoes notoriously fertile.
Very fertile.
Absolutely.
The soil is incredible,
mm-hmm.
prone to explosions of babies, but still very fertile.
All I know is it feels racist. It does. It feels.
It is racist, but I don't know how.
Right.
Because
that's what I'm
that's
talking.
A large amount of space.
Remember when I earlier said he continues to surprise me? That's why. Mm. But it's like that feels very, very bigoted. But at the same time, I don't know how to put my finger
yeah.
on it.
Yeah,
it seems,
I know it's wrong.
It seems to me like someone who talks about like fiery Latino blood and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like that version of
right.
Bigotry. I don't know.
I do like the idea of him changing his rhetoric. He's like, the West is under attack from the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The whole middle.
The center.
Middle, the, you go all the way around it in the center. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the 10th to the 10th parallel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you might remember that a few years back, Todd Akin, made some awful comments about how if a woman has been raped and she gets pregnant, her body will take care of that.
Right.
The body has a way
yes,
of working
I
that out.
I recall that.
You
That's
may...
a weird thing for Clay Aiken to say.
Yeah, he wished he was invisible. Which is a big hit.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
I don't understand you.
If I were invisible. Oh, because
no!
It's a creepy fucking song.
Oh.
He's like, the chorus is, if I were invisible, I would watch you in your room.
Oh, there's nothing creepy about
That's
that.
That's very creepy, especially for a pop song.
Come on, H.G. Wells.
Anyway, so it shouldn't be too surprising to remember that Alex wasn't like, he wasn't offended by that. He was kind of like, it seems like a reasonable comment.
He watches TLC a lot, I imagine.
And now we go back to 2009 and we hear him saying shockingly similar things, except you take the sexual violence
Wait,
out of it.
Back to 2009?
Well, that's where we are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Depending on the study, it gives you a 50 to 200%, depending on the trimester, increase in cervical, ovarian, and other forms of reproductive organ cancer when you have an abortion. Let me give you a little newsflash. If the baby needs to die, your body will terminate. If things aren't going right, 99% of the time, if your body's in danger, the body will do it. So women just need to know. You've had abortions, that's a good chance of you getting cancer. It's also associated with breast cancer. Why don't you have the baby and adopt it?
Why don't you?
Hell, if you end up having the baby and keeping it, you'll have to fight CPS off anyways. I mean, they're killing babies with one hand, and then they're CPSing them with another.
I'm sparing you from a lot of clips of him screaming really gross things about abortion that are just like his normal milieu.
Right.
This is weird.
This is real weird.
This is very unscientific.
Where do these guys get their woman science? Like, is it like, because
well,
I feel like it's folklore from the 1700s.
Patriot mythology.
Right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be something like, also, women, if you are near them while they're menstruating, you'll become a woman. Like,
that's why
and
I
if you stand in a fairy circle, yeah.
You gotta send them to the menses.
Yeah, like, what are these guys doing?
I don't know, man. It's weird.
If there's something wrong, it'll terminate itself?
Everything works out. Don't you understand? There are no problems.
Like, 50% of women used to die in childbirth until like 100 years ago.
Body worked that out.
No!
The body worked
I mean,
it
if
out.
You, well yeah, in a certain sense, if something's not right, it'll just kill both of you.
No, that's how it's supposed to
and
be.
And then how will you have an octomom?
Exactly. That's, I mean, there's that question we need to ask ourselves. And further, Alex has had, he's paid for 10 abortions or more in his life, he said. So like,
right.
This idea of guilting people about stuff is utter horseshit.
Alex, so that means he literally gave, by his own beliefs, 10 women cancer.
Right, right. Absolutely. That was what I was going to get to. He's stupid. And so he spends a lot of this show just saying really gross things, fear tactics, and shit about abortion that it doesn't pass the smell test. And largely probably comes from these, militant anti-abortion groups. That's probably where he's getting his information from.
Right, but where do they get that from?
Just misreading stuff.
It just
probably.
Sounds so made up.
So we have.
It sounds arbitrary.
We have all that, and then we dive into greener, more familiar pastures when, our old friend, the guy who made millions and millions of dollars taking gold from South Africa, Bob Chapman, shows back up.
Oh, fucking Bob Chapman.
And he is back on his bullshit, as they say.
The outcome, financially, will be all the currencies will collapse. And there'll be default, devaluation. Almost all of them will do dreadfully. There'll be a few that will do okay.
Which ones?
And in the meantime, every single day, every single currency is devaluing against.
So.
Which ones?
He doesn't specify really, but it is just, he's just on to say all this stuff about how like there's an artificial collapse coming of all currencies. And then he
except for a few,
but mostly gold, baby, get gold. Mm. And so he gets to this.
And of course, inflation's going to go ballistic. And
even
you
though
know,
deflation is happening at the same time,
$902 or $210 gold. Gold is going over $3,000. And if you don't, if you have done what you know you're supposed to do about having that defensive insurance position at home, you've got to get more coins. You've got to get more gold. You've got to get more silver.
Wait
it's the
it.
Only thing that's going to be worth anything.
Gold has been hovering around 920. It's right there today. How long can they keep it at that, or will it just keep rising, or will it correct again?
Next week it's going to fly.
Next week it's going to fly. You better buy shit now. So that's it didn't fly.
Yeah.
It never hit 3,000 or anything like
yeah.
that.
But yeah.
In a slight bit of fairness, I will say that gold was rising around this time. It never reached the levels that they are saying it's going to, but it was gaining value. I mean, it's not like it's falling and they're pretending it's rising.
Right.
It did end up reaching, a little bit later, it got up to about like 1,600 an ounce or so. And then corrected where it's been pretty much since with a little bit of fluctuation right around 1,100-1,200 an ounce. So, I mean.
That's frustrating to me because that's evil. They're doing that maliciously and yet it was still for a time a good investment.
Well, you can.
I don't like that.
You can be a liar, about the big picture and still be correct about, you know, a detail.
That's karmic. Like, karmically, that is a bummer to me.
It is. You want it to be all a lie. And unfortunately, there's a piece of it that's like, well, I mean, it's not, what they're trying to scare you with isn't true. But the idea that like at that time, if you'd bought gold, you could have made some money if you got out at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, but we've never said that that's not true.
No, it's actually generally always been.
I mean,
like,
Bitcoin is largely a scam, or a lot of cryptocurrencies are scams. But if you are able to ride them correctly, and you can make money on them.
A
lot of people do. But it's just
they're like 12-year-olds who are millionaires.
But there are just more examples of people who get defrauded or end up blowing everything.
Right.
And people who buy their gold and silver from Midas Resources, as we know from copious amounts of ripoff reports and shit like that, they were getting screwed with having nothing to do with the price of gold.
Yeah.
So that's sort of more important. A little bit after this, Ted Anderson pops up, gives the specials, reads the menu.
Gives a little bit of the,
Sovereigns are hot. And you know, so they play their normal game and then, the show goes on.
I have a hard time realizing it. I don't think I've ever asked this question.
Interesting.
So he doesn't sell gold. Every time I hear he sells gold, I imagine little bars.
Yeah.
That's what I, every time you've said that, I've been like, oh, little bars of gold.
No.
Like little, like chocolate bars.
No.
Like it's gold wrapping.
That's ridiculous.
But see, now why is that ridiculous?
Because.
That makes as much sense as anything else.
Because, like, if you're imagining like a proper sized bar of gold, that would be way too expensive.
No, no, I mean like a cake bar sized.
No, that's
thing
crazy.
Of gold.
That's crazy. No one would mint that.
Why not?
What they have is mostly coins that have a certain amount of gold content in them.
Okay.
So generally, he'll have like these British sovereigns or these. He has those dimes that have silver content in them.
Yeah.
And so, like, from I don't know how much how many of them are like currently printed at this time. But you have these, like, you can even still find some of them in circulation. You can find, like, quarters from, like, 1920 or something like that that'll have a little bit of silver in them.
Uh-huh.
And shit like that. Like, so these are coins from specific years from back when they had silver in these coins. So, like, one of his Walking Liberty half dollars or whatever will have 0.002 ounces of gold in it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so that's mostly what he's selling. He's selling.
But how would you
know
that?
It's called bullion. What?
How would you know?
Well, it's because of they're certified. It's when they were printed. It's back when those were, that was how money worked.
Like that was the currency. Yeah.
And I think some of it too, the more, non-historical coins that he has.
Yeah.
Are ones that they make specifically that are like, this has this much gold in it. And then some filler and shit like that.
Oh, man.
Or even full gold coins, but that would be like, those would be pretty expensive.
See,
I don't think he's selling money of those.
I don't trust that at all.
No, there's a bit of faith involved.
Yeah, even back whenever that was the way that it worked, how could you trust that shit? Who's doing the certifying?
I don't know.
Currency has always been magic. Well, currency has always been a faith-based
idea. There's always been a faith and credit aspect of it that, they're so mad about with the idea of trusting the government, but it would be fine to trust your local coin guy.
Yeah.
Or the centralized coin guy who's making the coins for the state or
right.
whatever.
Ugh.
Yeah. Everything is fine in that level, but anyway, it's all a scam. They're all just running a scam.
Yeah.
So at this point on the show, something really interesting happens, and that is Alex Jones has Steve Watson as a guest.
Steve Watson.
Paul Joseph Watson's brother.
What?
I have never heard Paul Joseph Watson on the show in 2009 as I'm listening back to these. And now I hear Steve Watson. And boy, he is not ready for primetime. He is boring as shit.
PJ Dubs has not been on the show.
I mean, he might have been, but I haven't
but
heard
you
him
haven't
in
heard
the
him.
2 months of episodes that I've been listening to. So far, he has not popped up. He's been referenced. He's definitely around. Like, he's writing and stuff like that.
Right.
But Alex hasn't forced him on air yet, it appears. But Steve Watson comes on, and I can't imagine he's on ever again. He's so boring. He is just like, oof, it's a disaster. And I have a working theory. This is my big conspiracy. Because I found some pictures of Steve Watson. He looks a lot like Paul Joseph Watson.
It's Paul Joseph Watson and a mustache.
I think it might be. I think he might not exist. And what happened was Alex introduced Steve as like this perform. Like, I think that Paul Joseph Watson or Steve, we'll call him Peeve Watson.
Yes.
Decided that he wanted two paychecks and he knew Alex was never coming to England. And so he created a brother persona.
Right.
In
right.
order to get two paychecks out of Alex.
Okay.
Now Alex is trying to push them on air. So Steve, the persona, comes on and is just awful. He never comes back on, but Paul does a little bit of like, a little bit of work, a little bit of reps. He's training, gets a little bit better, gets a little snarkier.
Okay.
Starts getting that glassy eye thing going so he looks like he means everything he's saying.
Okay.
Comes back stronger than ever.
All right.
Steve never shows back up on air.
Okay.
Paul Joseph Watson takes the mantle out of the Watson. And now Steve fades into the background, much like Paul Joseph Watson appears to be in 2009. That's my theory. I have nothing to base that on. Except for a picture that I saw of Steve Watson, who looks very similar to Paul Joseph Watson, which also
could be his brother.
Yeah.
It could very well be his brother.
Could be.
That is a long way to go. It's a long way for Paul to go. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm leaning towards that theory more than I am that Paul has a brother.
I've got to amuse myself somehow while I listen to these episodes.
Or Paul has a brother who's exactly as crazy as Paul?
Yeah, apparently.
That seems unreasonable.
Or in the early days, they got on the same page about, like, we can make some money off this.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of outgrew itself, and now they're in too deep.
Does he have the same posh British accent, or is he like a... is he like from...
It's pretty similar. No, it's pretty, it's pretty similar, but it's low... It's low energy. It's very... And that might just be because of the time zone difference, quite frankly.
Okay.
Calling from London.
See, because now I'm thinking Paul Joseph Watson puts on the Steve persona, but just hams it up with a Dick Van Dyke kind of Cockney accent.
No,
really goes hard on it.
No,
he doesn't do that?
Similar enough voices that I believe they're from the same area or whatever. Okay. But we're not going to listen to any of it because he's just so boring and awful. And we are going to go on to Alex's next guest, though, which is a hard-hitting interview that he has. This should surprise nobody.
I've only had him on once, about 3 or 4 months ago, and I wanted to get him back on because we had a lot of questions from listeners out there about how does a box the size of a water cooler without the water bottle on top produce 7.5 gallons of water a day in normal humidity?
What's in the box?
It produces water in the desert. How does that work? So we have the
what's in the box
founder of Ecola Blue, the designer, and he is also, of course, the individual who we have on air with us, and so he's perfect to be able to discuss all these things. And he's Tyler Palmer. Tyler, I appreciate you coming on with us.
Ecola Blue.
Tyler, what's in the box?
Ecola Blue is one of Alex's big sponsors.
What's in the box, Tyler? What's in the box?
They just talk about how great his water filters are for about half an hour. So sweet. That's great. Towards the end of the show, I mean, that's just another example of...
So he just does a boring interview with one of his sponsors? That sucks.
But it's clear that he does this all the time. He has Ted Anderson on, and then Bob Chapman is just a subsidiary arm of Ted Anderson's gold sales.
Yeah.
He has the Soap Limerick guy on all the time.
Love me the Soap Limerick
And now we introduce this, that he has the Ecola Blue guy, water filter sponsor, on as a guest. It's clear he has to do this.
Yeah.
It's clear that there's some sort of a brokering... of, like, you sponsor my show, and I'll let you come on and spout some nonsense.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this guy doesn't say anything that's, like, as funny as a limerick or anything like that.
That's disappointing.
But it is, like, just an infomercial. He's just – Alex is offering infomercial space on his show because he's fucking desperate. He is not doing well in 2009. I can guarantee that based on a number of the indications that I see.
Yeah.
You see Bob Chapman come in and be like, next week the gold prices are skyrocketing.
They're going to be $3 billion.
The only function of that is to be like, buy it now. We need you to buy it now.
Right.
This, like, you know, do an infomercial for the water sponsor. Maybe you get a couple extra bucks from him.
Right.
Whatever. So towards the end of the show, Alex decides, like, I'm going to transition this. I'm going to take some calls. And they're all pretty boring. But this one caller says something that I think is pretty funny.
I want to send you my thing. I can't find your address anywhere. What is wrong with your site? Why is it an abortion, basically? Your site is an abortion. I cannot find anything because... you have all this stuff jammed in. I don't mind having the advertising, but the rest of the space, could you have like little blocks or little segments so that we can go to whatever segment of the site we want
my
to go to?
My site is an abortion. Well, that's a... Thank you.
I try to access your site, and I go berserk trying to find simple things.
No, I hear you, and I appreciate your call.
Okay. Your website sucks.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
I love that he's taking calls from people who are just whining about shit.
Dude, get some fucking web design going.
I can't even find anything. And also, let me start telling you about your tone of voice. I don't like it.
Right.
Some people like to listen to you. I don't like to. Change your voice. I'm still going to listen. Anyways.
Anyway, your website's an abortion. Thank you. I'll take my answer off air. So that's it for the sixth.
What do those people hope happens?
I don't know.
Well, you told Alex that he needs to change his website. It's in God's hands now.
Yeah, maybe he'll change his website.
Yeah.
So that ends the sixth. That's a Friday show, so there's nothing on the seventh. And we get to the eighth, and the eighth is a disaster. It's mostly just him reading a bullshit article by Kurt Nimmo that we don't need to really go into.
Nope.
And then a lot of the episode also is about, again, these states declaring their sovereignty narrative.
Yeah.
Which we've already sort of discussed. But Alex does say this, and this is the only thing I think is, it all got my ears perked up at all.
The good news is all these yuppies who've been laughing at me and who've helped this happen, they're going to lose everything they've got.
Just understand, we're all going to get hurt in this, but at least the scum's going to get hurt too. Now, a lot of the scum's going to try to join this to get power. Imagine every control freak, every nobody who can't build a business, who can't run a company, who never creates anything. They're all going to have their own little uniforms on power trips with all these roid head cops who've been in Iraq confiscating guns, killing 1.3 million. They're all coming home to America to drink our country's blood down.
Okay. So,
that's very anti-troops.
And anti-police.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there too that's just like, I feel like from his perspective, what he's trying to be the customer facing persona, the idea of like, yeah, we're going down, but they're getting hurt too, probably isn't, that's not good. That's not in line with what he wants his listeners to think, right? I mean, like, that's petty and bitter.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, yeah, but you don't want that. You don't want that presentation.
Oh, no, no. Well, he's petty and bitter. He's been petty and bitter for how many years now? I think he was petty from the start.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, undoubtedly.
Absolutely.
I have a working theory that if his dad just would have made him feel smart, fascism would have had a much difficult time.
Much harder time, yeah, taking root in America. In American society.
Yeah, I think that's,
fascism has a long and storied past with the United States.
Well, sure. So. It would have come in some other way, but this route that it did go, if Alex Jones's dad would have just made him feel smart. It's weird that, my perception of the downfall of America, all traces back to the InfoWars Human Resources Director.
That's a good point.
It's weird.
That's a weird way to view the, downfall of America.
So February 9th, 2009 is also kind of, not much. There's not much going on that show, and to illustrate how little I think is going on, the only thing that I think is worth mentioning is that this is the first time I've heard this theme music that I think is one of the most out-of-place things ever on Alex's show. This, I think, is its debut.
This was the first time.
And as they introduce more and more, quote, vaccines.
So real quick, we'll get back to the clip, but like, he's using it as a coming in from commercial, whereas in the present,
that's how
it's
he goes.
Always going out to break. So now I think he's debuting. He's like, oh, this doesn't fit here. This could go like as a soft reminder that it's time for a commercial break, but coming in is jarring.
Yeah.
But are really genetic engineering, DNA altering systems. They are testing how to cover it up in the media, how to spin it, how to control the watchdog groups that pop up to fight it.
I cannot focus on what he's saying.
They've been testing soft kill weapons in Africa, Latin America, Asia, and now the soft kill's coming here. And what is Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation trying to do? Engineer mosquitoes where you, even if you don't want to take vaccines, the mosquitoes bite you and deliver it.
Okay.
That sounds like it was from Final Fantasy IV. Like, Nobuo Uematsu composed that, right?
Oh, man, it's so mellow.
It's so mellow.
It's very comforting.
It's like you're going through a dungeon, and it's like an ice dungeon. Like, to your taste, it would be like a Zelda dungeon. You know what I'm saying?
Or like an underwater level in Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
Something serene.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's very weird. But also, that end part is so stupid. He's working off this really incomplete understanding of an article that he read about little mosquito drones being able to be created.
I like it.
Well, the idea that they'd be able to vaccinate people is absurd because
with mosquito drones?
Well, the problem is that being able to make something small enough that they would be largely undetected and be able to fly around and zap people with vaccines.
With enough vaccine payload.
Well, I mean, you'd only be able to have like one person worth of vaccine. And that would be like, if you're trying to hit an adult, that's a milliliter.
Yep.
That's pretty big for a
mosquito sized
mosquito drone. Yeah. And then beyond that, just like the energy capacity that it would need to fly around a milliliter would be pretty ridiculous. People have gone on record and specified that, like, that technology is
cost prohibitive
and doesn't exist, and no one would be motivated towards creating it.
Because why not, Dan?
It'd be insane. And then
you ask why, I ask why not.
And then the further issue is that, like, different vaccines that you need, like a flu vaccine or an MMR or whatever, like,
make some more mosquitoes.
Well, but some of them require subdermal injections. Some are subcutaneous.
Make bigger, make hornets.
They would need, like, they'd need to be, like, specifically able to make specific injections.
Right.
That would be, there's, it's just.
Put a brain in them.
It's the craziest idea.
Put a human brain in them.
See, now.
Put a little rat brain in them.
Now we're there. That, yes. Because if you're talking about them being drones, then, I mean, what you'd have is you'd have to have someone operating them. And so you'd have to have someone flying around a little tiny mosquito with a milliliter worth of...
What do you think the Nintendo Switch was invented for, Dan?
That's a good point.
That's what it's all about.
So then you would stick someone with this milliliter, and then you'd have to go back to home base.
Right.
Or you would expect, like, it's just going to be lost.
Or...
This little mosquito drone is going to be lost in the field.
Somebody to slap it with their hand.
Which happens with mosquitoes a lot. And then you're out $1 million or whatever. It doesn't really work. There's a lot of, like, sort of just fundamental questions that Alex isn't asking about these technologies he's trying to scare his audience about.
I like it.
There's a lot to like. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot to like in terms of the fancifulness of it. But
I want mosquito drones.
Hey, also, if you had that kind of a drone and you were trying to use it in any precise way about, like, landing on someone and sticking them,
you'd
have to worry about wind because they'd be too small. It would be
mosquitoes
almost impossible.
Fly through wind. That's fine.
You also have to worry about, like, what are you using, a propeller? Like, how are you doing this? You'd have to worry about
little wings.
It doesn't work that way.
Mosquito wings.
You can't do that.
You just really
you can't do that.
Really, what you're doing is just putting a little robot brain on a mosquito.
Can't do that. And then you have to worry about humidity. It would be just like, there's so many factors involved that just make this like, Bill Gates would sit down and be like, I love solving problems. I'm going to punt. This one is not for.
Okay.
No.
Different track. All right.
I'm listening.
You build a giant mosquito robot. Shrink it down.
I'm nodding.
Shrink
yep.
it down.
Oh.
So you got to build.
So now the issue is
now you
got to
build
a shrink ray.
The issue is the shrink ray all along, Dan. That's been the whole problem from the start.
There's no doubt about that.
And we know that the shrink ray technology is possible.
Can I tell you about something that happened to me back when I lived in Hawaii?
You got shrunk?
No. So I,
honey, I shrunk the kids in Hawaii.
I got involved in a invention contest back when I was like in third grade or something like that.
All right.
And so what I did is I created a multi-use tool that would clean barbecue grills.
Because
there's a bunch of different things that you need, like a scraper, you need the bristles, you need a bunch of things.
You gotta do the whole thing.
I'm in fucking third grade, I didn't realize this probably existed already. But I made a prototype of this, multi-purpose tool for cleaning barbecue grills. And I entered it in this exchange, this contest of inventions, and I lost.
And they gave you a mosquito as a reward.
No, I lost to this girl who had invented a hypothetical shrink and expanding ray. And her proof of concept was a Hershey's Kiss and then a giant Hershey's Kiss. And she's like, it would hit the ray and then it would turn into that. I'm like, that doesn't exist.
She showed the scene from, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory where they shrink him down.
It made me furious.
she calls it the Mike TV machine.
I'm still mad about this. I was in third grade. I was furious. It's like, I put work into this.
That was her proof of concept.
She just bought a giant Hershey's Kiss. Yeah. Made me.
All right. Well,
so
I'm sold.
Mad.
Yeah. I'm sold. How did she do?
She won.
No, I mean like later on in life. How's her shrink ray working?
Oh, I lost track of her. She probably
you lost track of
she
her.
She probably is working on giant mosquito technology.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So
and it was winning that contest that propelled her, that gave her the self confidence necessary to pursue a career in giant mosquito making technology.
You know what makes me?
And you know what, Dan? You're trying to step in the way.
You know what makes me most furious is that, like, I'm sure she doesn't even remember it. I'm sure that's not even a memory for her.
Of course not.
And for me, it plagues me. What could have been if I had just won that contest? So, Jordan, we move on to February 10th now, Tuesday. And here's where, shit gets, fairly interesting. And Alex says a bunch of really stupid shit that'll be fun to talk about. It starts with him, getting back on his bullshit a little bit about, saying gross things about abortion.
Yeah.
And I only kept this in because I've tried to find the specific case he's talking about and I can't, and I just don't think this happened.
I read that, mainstream news story about the baby, lady gets to the abortion clinic for a 7-month abortion, partial birth. The doctor doesn't show up on time. She has the baby, so they grab the baby, throw it on the ground, try to bash its brains out. This is in mainstream news. Then take it and throw it in a dumpster, and it died of exposure. Cockroaches chewing on it. And people went in the comment section of InfoWars and said I was making it up.
Yeah.
They don't even go to the news article and read it. You just can't handle the truth. You can't handle it.
So I looked for this. I can't.
They didn't read the original article. How would they find it? Did you link to it? No? Okay.
I'm not disputing that there might be some sensationalized bullshit article that he's talking about. I don't know. I haven't found it. But I did look into all this. Like, you know, there is a lot of instances of babies in dumpsters and stuff like that, fetuses in dumpsters. And most of the time, if you look at the stories, they are not abortion clinics. They are people who have the baby and want to keep it secret. Whether it's an abusive spouse, abusive partner, or just like a I don't want to deal with this kind of situation, generally speaking, in the same way that when he talks about like kids being kept in cages, not in terms of the immigration stuff,
right,
but like in terms of he's like these pedophile networks are keeping kids in cages.
Yeah.
When you look at the instances of times the kids have been found in cages, it's almost always their parents keeping them in cages. It's parental abuse. And the stories that I kept finding when I looked into this and tried to dig it up, I don't even want to talk about them because they're horrifying and gross. But they are instances of people who had, got pregnant. They didn't take care of it. They got no, I don't know why. Even these articles a lot of the time say it's unclear why they didn't deal with this.
Yeah.
But then they end up having the baby at home, and then throw it in a dumpster. Like, as if that is going to deal with the issue. One of them was a like a sorority, college student, and she had the baby, in her bathroom, and then put it in a trash bag and threw it in the dumpster, and then texted her boyfriend, no baby. So, like,
wow.
Or, like, no more baby, or something like that.
Wow.
Now, to the extent that I didn't find, like, a police report on this, I'll say that I'm gonna take this with a grain of salt. But I think it was, in like the New Republic or something like that. So it's not like it's not like some place that makes up things whole cloth.
Yeah.
They definitely have a bias and shit like that. But not like, it's going to, the issue is you have stuff like this and then you have stuff like, you know, Kermit Gosnell, that, abortion doctor who was cutting up babies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who is just a monster. That's not a story about abortion being a problem. That's a story of a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
So you have a couple of instances like this that you can find, and Alex is, as best I can tell, he's trying to turn the fear of the reality of people like Gosnell and these people who do this to their own child, and apply that to abortion as a whole. And it's fucking disgusting.
It plays on stuff that's real. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I
got disgusted.
My problem is what he described was a cartoon. Where the doctor steps out for a second and the door gets locked behind him and then the baby comes flying out and it's sliding around on the floor while all the nurses are trying to slam it with hammers and they can't get it because it's too quick. It's sliding across the room like a grease pig and then it dies of exposure. It's too cold.
There's a couple of busty ladies chasing the fetus
around. Exactly.
Yeah. A cop with a billy club. Yeah.
Why, we couldn't catch that baby.
Well, also the idea too is just like this, like they beat up the fetus.
Yeah, what are you talking? That's what I'm saying. It sounds like there are people with hammers. Like there are always just people with big foam mallets at an abortion clinic. Like, well, if the baby comes flying out of there, we gotta have backup for this abortion.
I would say that, like, since the 70s, especially, abortion clinics and people who work at them are pretty keenly aware that people want to kill them.
Yeah.
I generally think that they would be much more aware. So even if you wanted to do what we just were sarcastically discussing as like a possibility, they'd be like, no.
Yeah.
I think they go far more by the books. And that's why whenever these things come out by like James O'Keefe or the Center for Medical Progress, it's always crazy edited videos, and it's always outright manipulation to try and make these people look like they're doing the things that they want their listeners to be afraid that they're doing when they're not.
Right.
So.
But that leads back to my long-held belief that don't worry about them. Like, because there's nothing you can do. There's no amount of purity that you can. They're going to portray you as what they want you to be, no matter what. Like, don't even, like, what, who gives a shit? Like, don't fucking deal with these people. Like, Obama never had a chance. They would never have given him a shot.
It would be so great if you just, like, just suck my balls.
Yeah, just swing your dick on the table. Mm. That's my issue with liberals.
But
we don't swing our dicks on the table. Conservatives swing their dicks all around.
I think it's fine for, I'm coming around to your position a little bit more. And I think that a lot of my positions need clarification, like in terms of like what people think I believe and versus what I actually do. In terms of like what is the right decorum and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wrong to scream at anybody who's involved with Trump in public
fuck
now. I mean I never did. I didn't think it was.
No.
The line that I had for the longest time was like, well, we're going to have to eventually figure this out, and eventually we're going to have to work things out, and eventually there are people who are conservative who come from a good faith position, and we should not abuse them in the same way that we would abuse people who are of the Nazi persuasion. And the more time goes on and the less and less I hear any of those voices,
right?
The more it becomes very clear to me that the priority is the people whose existence is in jeopardy. Yeah. Go ahead and paint conservatives with a broad brush.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Fuck them. Yeah.
Maybe 6-9 months ago, I kind of cared a little bit about the idea of like, let's be fair to people and not put them in these groups. But now, especially with the stuff that we're seeing now with like the, you know, you could see these polls of conservatives, like just broadly supporting everything that's horrible that Trump does.
Yep.
And you just see that and you're like, well, this does not track.
Yep.
I apologize to those 20% or whatever that aren't on board, but fuck you.
Yeah.
Because the other 60% is going to kill my friends.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
Yeah. It just always goes back to like, think about who's standing around you.
Yeah.
When you're at a rally, look around.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be at that rally? And if you're one of the 20% of conservatives who's like, I don't want to be at that rally, but I'm still calling myself a conservative. Well, then you're at that rally.
Well, I mean,
so go fuck yourself.
I mean, it's that classic thing of like, if you're cool hanging out with Nazis, you are a Nazi.
Yeah.
But no, there's not a thin line there. There's
no.
There's not a line at all. You just are.
Yep.
And I know everyone can blah, 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 keep saying Nazi, whatever. It's
no,
relevant.
They're Nazis.
That's relevant.
I read this Washington Post article that was about the...
You're talking WAPO?
I'm talking WAPO.
That's my new show that'll be on AMC.
Not
talking
article.
WAPO.
Yeah, talking WAPO?
Yep. Now that Chris Hardwick's out, I'm in.
Walkin' Po, talking WA.
Strong.
No, I read this, like, opinion piece that was like, Sarah Huckabee Sanders should not have been kicked out
of
that restaurant. I agree with you that Nazis are bad.
I've seen that take.
We need to, and of all the things to care about right now, what Sarah Huckabee fucking Sanders is allowed to do, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Even if I agreed with him in the longer sense, we'll get to that later, dude. We'll get to 10 years from now, whenever all of this shit is behind us, which it won't be. But then we can talk about decorum. For right now, let's bail on decorum and get refugee children back to their parents.
But I honestly think that that conversation is even like a disservice to the reality of the world. You know, like even the civility conversation that seems to be happening on the internet, I think even that is like, we should just reject that.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't even, it shouldn't even have, like, those sorts of articles, just hard pass. No, thank you. No, not interested.
It's just,
because the responses are all just a waste of time, and they all seem to boil down to, especially from the right, the responses to Sarah Huckabee Sanders not being allowed to eat at this restaurant in Virginia seem to be that, like, oh, but what about the people who won't bake a
cake?
Right. And it's like, well, your actions are different than you being a part of a protected class.
Yeah.
The Civil Rights Act exists. And then did you see that fucking?
It's equivalent. They, loved each other and were not bothering anybody and got married and would like a cake for that. And she is the lying mouthpiece of an organization that is tossing innocent people into jail all the time, all the time.
Speaking of the Civil Rights
Act, same thing.
Did you see that video of Jordan Peterson being interviewed by Jim Jeffries?
No. I heard about it, though.
It's basically just, I mean, Sam Cedar does this with libertarians all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Just brings up the idea of the Civil Rights Act and like, okay, so based on the argument that you're making, you think the businesses shouldn't be able to serve black people if they don't like them. And they're like, well, yeah. And they all basically waffle
right
about that. They all just fall apart. And the fact that Jim Jeffries brings this up to Jordan Peterson about his idea of the gay cake shit, and he's like, I might be wrong. Like, what the fuck is wrong with
Well, that was quick.
How did you not think of this?
This is
the most basic rebuttal that anyone could make.
Yeah.
And the fact that he, oh God, it was disastrous. When I saw that, I'm like, how dare you show your face in public again?
Yeah.
How dare you tweet ever again? You need to go on hiatus. Like, this is the intellectual version of like, I gotta go to rehab.
Yeah.
I gotta go to rehab.
Yes, perfect.
I have
that
to.
That is the perfect, analogy for that.
It's like some celebrity who got in trouble, got a little too buck wild one night, and then they're like, all right, I don't want everyone to hate me. I'm going to rehab.
Go away.
Yeah.
Then film Iron Man. That's what you gotta do.
Exactly.
You gotta go away to come back. You're gonna be huge. Mm-hmm. Sign a 10-picture deal with not being a homophobe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, we get to this next clip, and this is pretty weird, and I will say, I find this, distasteful on, a lot of levels. And I think actually Alex Jones is, against his libertarian values in this next clip, which I find, kind of, delightful.
First, they sell you on getting rid of the old people, saying, well, they have a right to die with dignity, and they'll cut to some person 75 years old in excruciating pain, saying, I deserve to be able to commit suicide.
Yeah. Agreed.
Hey, Bubba, nobody's stopping you from going to the dentist to have a tooth pulled and getting a whole bottle of hydrocodone and going home and turning your lights out.
Well,
see, but they claim, oh, they can't get access to suicide. Oh.
So that's a long pause that he has, but I want to address this because he's going to say some other shit. But like before that, the very easy rebuttal to this is like, I believe that libertarians do believe that you have the right to end your own life if you are in excruciating pain or something like that.
Right.
That is absolutely a libertarian position.
Right.
You have the right over your own body and what have you to the extent of that. Him saying no one's stopping you from going to the dentist and getting a ton of hydrocodone, as you pointed out, the law, as I'm pointing out, okay, in order for you to do that, you now need a dentist who's willing to be your accessory in your suicide of yourself.
Yeah, you get a black market dentist.
Or you need to conveniently need dental surgery and then pay for that and along the way get hydrocodone.
Have you ever been to the dentist? You already want to kill yourself.
Right. Right. It's gonna fuel the process. But like, no matter what, you're gonna need assistance somehow. You're gonna need to eat assistance getting that hydrocodone, or you're going to need Kevorkian. You know, like, you need one of the two. And there's no way around that.
Also, I don't understand his point.
We'll get to it here in a second.
So, but because what I'm hearing right now is him saying, people want the right to die.
Right.
And then he says, well, nobody's stopping you from finding a way to kill yourself.
His whole point is that, like, that the people who are arguing that, like, old people should be able to choose to die with dignity, which I think is probably the better way to phrase it.
Yeah.
Those people, of course you agree with that, but what that's really about is instituting death panels and shit like that.
That's fast.
Yeah. That's his argument. And to that, I say, I reject the premise. Like,
that doesn't make any sense at all.
But then his idea is like, you shouldn't need the law to come in, and make it okay for someone to help you die, because that's just going to get other people who don't want to die killed. Whereas you should just be able to go, you specifically should just go to your dentist and get a bunch of pills.
Right.
And then kill yourself.
Right.
Or what he suggests next.
So if you can't go in the kitchen and turn the gas on, so if you can't go in the garage and close it and turn the car on. Shut up! You want to kill yourself? Go ahead. The whole point here is that they want to pass a law saying the government decides when to kill us through their bioethicist boards. That is neo-eugenics.
Nope. Nope. All of those things.
Killing old people is neo-eugenics?
It's, I don't know what the opposite of neo
I know,
is.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, come on!
Archaeo-eugenics.
Geriogenics. Yeah.
Again, I reject the premise. Because, I don't know if you've ever watched any documentaries about, people who, choose to end their own life, like with, assisted suicide, and like, there's a couple states that allow it.
Yeah, I've seen something.
No one's forcing anybody to do anything. Like, it's
no, you have to go through, well, even Kevorkian, you had to go through like three different interviews, and he had to be like, you need a proof of psychological evaluation. You need to go through the whole thing.
It's crucial that people have consent. And it's that they are deciding, like, I have a disease that's going to be super painful and is going to be a miserable experience to go through. I would rather check out now when I can be around my loved ones. And what have you. And so the idea that he's like, this is just a slippery slope. That's cruel. That's very cruel. And then also the anger that he is expressing with the, you can't turn on the gas or something like that. That's dangerous. That's really fucking.
Yeah, you could get everybody else around you killed.
You could blow up a house if you just turn on your gas and then off yourself. Especially like if you're a single person and there's no one to find you, you could fill up your entire house with gas. You could blow up a block. And then also if you just do the exhaust in your garage one, you might kill your kid. Like if you do that and they stumble in and find you, there's a decent
pass out and there you go.
It's not super likely, but it's possible. There's a lot of real serious problems with that, like, idea that, like, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it if you want to do it. Stop trying to get people to give you a lethal injection that you ask for around your loved ones when you just go, you check out.
Noticeably absent, guns.
Well, they're never used in suicides.
Doesn't that, like, cause that's your first thought. That's just a button. That's a button that says, fuck that noise.
He doesn't.
Which is what
he doesn't want to bring that up because almost all gun deaths, many of them are suicides.
Yeah, like something like 40 to 60%. Yeah, something insane. Because I, and as far as the law goes, like, I think for me, the law should just be like the, fuck that noise law. Where it's like, oh, you've got stage 4 cancer and you get to press a button that says, fuck that noise. Get on out, you know, like that kind of thing.
At your own,
the
way you want to go. Like, if you want to go sleepily with drugs, then go sleepily with drugs. If you want to, I mean, this is weird, and maybe I'm going too far with this.
Now we're going to just dream up scenarios for us to kill ourselves delightfully.
If you want to safely shoot yourself, I think you should be able to do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because some people maybe don't want to take drugs and doze off or whatever. I don't know. I would certainly
You might get sick, though, and you might throw it up. You might do that whole thing.
Or maybe you're weird in your last moments. You don't want that. You are, like, blacked out and say some shit you shouldn't say, like, because of the drugs. Maybe the last moment with your family is you saying, like, I was part of the LaFonta Heights. Or something like that. Like, I'm the Green River Killer.
I'm D.B. Cooper.
You never know. You might
see. Because that's the thing that I would want to do is I would want to leave a big-ass mystery.
You might be super high on whatever those death drugs are, and then you're like, I'm going to pull a prank. You might be just like.
And then I'll tell them I gotcha. Oh, no.
No, I can't. But in order to avoid that, maybe you want to shoot yourself, and there's ways to do that safely. Yeah. But, you know, there's a... I disrespect this position. I really hate it. I know that he's afraid of Obamacare and all that stuff, and I get why he wants to spread his political fear, but the real world impact of this is really, really ugly.
And that's, as you said, you know, that's specifically against his principles, because that is denying you your choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
While at the same time, he's trying to protect his ideas by saying, you can go kill yourself. We just shouldn't allow it under the law.
Right.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No. So what else doesn't make sense is at this point, gets into... Remember he was talking about how they want to steal your baby?
They've always wanted to do that.
Right, right. So they want to give
Unless it slides out and then is on the floor and you're...
They want to kill your baby, but failing that, they want to steal it.
I love the conception of these people.
And then, get this... Alex on this show role plays what it's like when a nurse is with a pregnant lady.
Oh, yes. I want to hear this.
The nurse sits there and asks your wife right in front of you, do you have any problems at home? And she'll say, sir, will you go file this, take this to the nurse downstairs for me? And then as soon as you leave the room, this is how they do it, they go, do you feel safe at home? You got enough money? Our bill's tough. And there's the trusting woman sitting there about to have her baby. You know, she's going into labor. And the nurse is smiling, honey, you need a cup of water? And then she's putting in the computer, and if you say you're having money troubles, they come snatch your children.
That's fast. That is fast. They don't even ask to see a budget?
By the grace of God, though, the CPS is huge, but they're usually so busy kidnapping other kids that a lot of times they can't show up to kidnap yours.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool, man.
Cool. That is good luck for me.
For everyone.
That's like the IRS is understaffed, so you probably don't even need to pay your taxes.
Now, here's my nightmare story that happens all the time. Now, if it has happened to none of you, don't be surprised, because they're too busy doing it to everybody else. Now, you probably haven't experienced this, but everyone else has. Please don't talk amongst yourselves about how this never happens.
That's so ridiculous.
Love that.
The layers.
I love that conversation, God, too.
You need a water?
You want some water? Oh, honey. Oh, you're having money troubles? Steal that baby! Steal it!
Putting in the paperwork.
She's got
steal the baby.
Like, she's got a little bank teller secret alarm button underneath the little thing.
This is crazy. But this is, I mean, this does make sense. I mean, it is in line with this worldview that he has about families and stuff like that, and how they're like, you shouldn't fucking have anybody get involved with them. And it's like, well, there does need to be an implement of the state if kids are being abused and stuff like that. Like, you do need some sort of recourse against, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I don't like
that.
There
you go.
I don't like that. So in this next clip, we get a trend that we see over and over again in Alex's world, and that is that he says one positive adjective, and he's really talking about white people.
Here we are. We are going into the control grid, and with it comes the face scanning cameras, the secret police, all over England now. If you're at the park or walking down the street, it's happened to me, but not just me. I watch him walking up to mainly clean-cut, good-looking families. They leave all the people that the public's told this is for, the illegal aliens, the foreigners alone.
Okay.
Foreigners.
So, clean cut, good looking families means white people.
Well.
White people.
Clean cut.
Good looking
families. Good looking families.
Now they leave everyone who looks like they're foreigners alone.
Right. That could be anybody.
Certainly not clean cut, good looking family.
Hell, our first lady isn't even from here. She's not even a citizen.
Let's not talk about her. So I don't know. I mean, it's a hot mess. So, I know that this is repetitious, but there is a method to my madness to a certain extent. And just remind it, we need constant reminders that when he talks about positive things, it does seem to be like he's talking about white people. And there's a differentiation between people who are weird and different, and clean-cut American good families.
Which, again, this is the weakest link. It's so obvious what he's doing because he's terrible at it.
Right.
You go to a place like, well, and even like all the mainstream conservative outlets are just running towards his side. The guy who said you're out of your cotton picking mind, like, yeah. you are running towards Alex Jones. They used to be better at it. They used to have the slightest of winks.
This is
to where you're like, wait, is that a dog whistle? I don't even know.
This is the thing that I never predicted, and I don't even think this was the case at the election. I'm not 100% sure because I was not a scholar of Fox News per se. But I never would have predicted, even in 2016, that what we would end up with is Fox News becoming like Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't think that what would happen is that we would experience that. But, like, that is what's happening. Like, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The overwhelming portion of right-wing media is now blending towards Alex.
Well, they have to.
They don't have to.
They do kind of have to. In order to continue existing.
Or they can completely change.
Right. Well, they would have to completely change. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In order to continue existing as they are.
They have to bequeath ground to the Democrats.
Right.
Or something. Or the left. Yeah.
Yeah. And they can't do that. So you have to, because the reality is he's doing everything that you said Obama was doing, you have to make up reasons to disbelieve it. And the more reasons you make up to disbelieve things, the best way to disbelieve something is to create something else to believe in, i.e. the globalists.
Right.
So there you go.
Now we call it the deep state on Fox News or any of those things in order to, because they're smart enough to know, like, about the connotations of using this specific language.
Yeah. They're not going to use globalists.
Conspiracy world.
Yeah.
But it's wild, man. I don't know how to deal with it.
No, I don't think Sean Hannity is anything other than Alex Jones in 2015.
Totally.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's weird.
And then Brian Kilmeade the other day, he was on Fox and Friends, and he was talking about the kids at the camps.
And he was the one who said they're not our kids.
They're not our kids.
Yeah, compassion, but
right. And there was another clip that was circulating from years ago of him on Fox and Friends talking about how America has not had, like, ethnic purity or something like that. Talking about, like, the Scandinavian country, they marry each other, but we marry other breeds and races.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's like, oh, man.
Yep.
This is so overt.
Yeah, no, they're a giant Nazi network. They're a Nazi network. Isn't that crazy?
It is pretty crazy.
Although at the same time, I saw regular Fox News, like the news part. Because all of that we talk of as Fox News is their opinion programming.
The marquee shows.
Their opinion programming that presents itself exactly like their news shows. And I saw one of their regular Fox News shows, and it was like, oh, you guys actually do news. Oh, look at you. You're cute.
It's cute.
Like, it was cute to see them try and do news.
It is cute.
Yeah.
What's about to happen is not cute. So at this point, on the 10th of February, 2009, Alex Jones has on as a guest a gentleman by the name of Charles Key. You might remember him because I brought him up earlier.
Yes.
He's the guy from Oklahoma who is putting forth that state sovereignty bill.
Is that a Dana Callis joke?
What?
You might remember him
because
I brought him up earlier.
Right. Very funny comedian. Dana Callis. Check him out. He comes on as a guest now. Not Dana Callis. Charles Key. And we find out.
Danny would be great on InfoWars.
We find out the reason that Alex Jones, for the last, because he's started that on the 6th, now we're at the 10th. One of the reasons that he's pushing the states asserting their sovereignty narrative.
Uh-huh.
It seems like it's just like, hey, this is exciting, another talking point for me.
Right.
There's a deeper reason to it.
There's many rays of sunshine. The biggest one, obviously, is that Oklahoma passed a resolution saying we're not going to allow UN takeovers and gun confiscation and UN and all this. And then the feds bombed you to teach you to love them, to teach you that they're the savior, with Oklahoma City that you've exposed. Now we've got, it's 10 states now. It's grown 3 more since last week, introducing bills to say no to the feds, and in there, I'm sure you've had a chance to read over some of the others. It's saying we're not going to put up with martial law. We're not putting up with gun confiscation. We're going to instruct our state police to resist.
So.
We're not going to put up with those things you're not doing and can't.
Right. This is,
You know what else? We're going to stop at stop signs. We'll do it. You can't even stop us.
I don't know if that would pass as a House resolution. Just like, let's not waste our time with this. So the reason that Alex Jones is so gung-ho about this is because part of his narrative is that Oklahoma passed a resolution like this, and then as a retaliatory action,
they got OKC
Oklahoma
bombed.
City happened. Yeah. In order to excuse white happened. Terrorism.
Right.
Now, I find this weak.
Oh, do you?
I do.
All right. Give several examples why.
I will in a moment, but before I do, here's my stated position. About things like this. Oklahoma City is a really big issue. If we were going to get into it, it would require a lot of research on my part. Some of it I've done already. Some I'd need to get deeper into the specifics of. And I don't give a shit. Not because I don't care about the people who died or anything like that, but because the burden of proof is on Alex. And if he wants to say that Oklahoma City was fake, that's too broad a claim. I don't know what to do with that. I need him to give me a specific. I need him to point out one thing, and then I'll look into that, and we can go from there. If he says this, that they passed this resolution, and then they got Oklahoma City'd, they put that bomb in, the teach them
cause equals effect.
There's nothing I can do with that. There's no amount of research that I can do that will disprove that tenuous connection that he's trying to make. Unfortunately, in this interview, Alex does bring up a specific.
Oh, no.
And I will get to it.
Why does he do that?
Here is what he does.
Charles Key, representative in Oklahoma, spearhead of a General Benton Parton and others exposing the bombs in the buildings, the police eyewitnesses and others, the federal forces brutally tortured to death and murdered, like Cop of the Year Terrence Yankee. When it's one knee. They tried to expose it. See, he's gone through that journey.
So he brings up Terrence Yankee. He says Yankee, because he doesn't have a good, he's not a good broadcaster. But do you know who Terrence Yankee is?
No.
He's a police officer in Oklahoma City who saved a bunch of people in the aftermath of the bombing. He ended up pulling out between 4 and 8 people from the wreckage before falling through a hole in the building, I guess. He fell 2 floors and injured his back. And after that, he became very despondent, and felt an immense amount of guilt, because he got hurt and wasn't able to save more people.
Right.
And he ended up committing suicide in a field, about a year after the Oklahoma City bombing, a couple days before he was supposed to receive a huge honor. A big award.
Right.
And before that, he had started to say things like, I don't deserve this.
Right.
And things like that.
Right. Now, extreme imposter syndrome kind of thing.
I've reviewed a lot of the evidence that conspiracy theorists, because Alex right there in there, he's saying that he was tortured and then killed because he was going to come out and reveal that it was all fake.
Oh, okay. I thought he was saying it sarcastically because he thought he was part of the whole conspiracy.
Nope.
Okay.
So he believes that, and this is one of the major underpinnings of the Oklahoma City conspiracy, is that Terrence Yankee was a cop who was involved, and he was about to go public, and because he couldn't deal with it, he was making a bunch of statements to people, and then they, in heavy quotes, murdered him.
Right.
The suicide was actually a murder. And I've reviewed a ton of evidence of this. I've looked over everything, and I am not convinced in any way that Terrence Yankee was murdered. This looks like an all too common instance of tragedy being compounded. The Oklahoma City bombing was a complete tragedy, and the suicide of a police officer, who by all credible accounts seems to be a good-hearted man, is just another layer of that tragedy. Circumstances of his death are in no way particularly outside of what you might expect in a suicide being done by someone who has not attempted suicide before. He had superficial cuts to his wrist and his throat, but died from a gunshot wound to his head. This might seem strange, but in reality, it's a bit harder than you might expect to slash your wrist successfully.
It is.
So, the circumstances were that he was in his car. And he tried to slash his wrists, and conceivably his neck.
Yeah.
And then, there's a bunch of blood in the car, and, his car was left, and he wandered about a mile and a half,
It's taken too long.
He wandered about a mile and a half, and then he was found in this field having shot himself in the head.
Yeah.
So the issue is that it takes an amazing amount of poise, I don't know if that's the right word, but to cut yourself deeply enough to kill yourself. I know that this sounds really indelicate and awful, but it does. It's a thing where you think that... This sucks. This sucks to talk about in any way.
Okay, I will. Fine, then I'll do it. I was there.
Yeah,
I did the whole thing. It's really hard to do.
I speak from experience myself.
Yeah,
yeah. It's you don't. God, it's ugly. But like,
it's like it's really really close to trying to. Because you're doing it with your own hands. It's really
exactly.
close to trying to strangle yourself with your own hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't understand without having gone yeah. through it or anything the amount yeah. of like, you have to go fucking super deep and you have to really mean it. And I'm not saying he didn't mean it when he was trying to cut his wrists, but like, there are ways that you can kill yourself, like overdosing or a gunshot, that are more like a button that
right.
you press.
Right.
And like with taking overdosing and stuff like that, you hope in that state, you hope that it does the trick.
Right.
And with the gun, it's like, you're done. But like cutting yourself is so like, you might think it's deep enough, but it's not. And I imagine in that circumstance, that might have been what he found himself in that car.
Right.
I'm not sure.
If you're walking a mile and a half. And then you shoot yourself.
Right.
You didn't, it wasn't there.
So now to reframe things a little bit, because this is very important. What Alex believes is that he was attacked in the car and then dragged a mile and a half and then killed at the point where he was found. Now the problem that
seems inefficient.
Now the problem that I have with that is, why the hell would the murderers cut him up fairly cleanly, but not deeply enough to kill him, which likely would be impossible if he were fighting back in anywhere, particularly considering that the cuts were on his wrists and his throat. You know, like he would be fighting, and then if you're trying to not kill him, but then you get deep enough because he's fighting back, there's no way to create that scenario, without accidentally going too far.
He was driving.
No, because he's parked in this field.
Ah, he was parked.
So then they would have had to have done it in the car, which means that they would have had to have been in an enclosed space with him. And further, any of the cuts he had would clearly cause blood stains on the murderer, and more importantly, no blood stains in the car where the murderer would have been. That physical evidence of a person attacking him in his car would be open and shut, and it doesn't exist. Then you have to consider that these murderers would have to think it was a good idea to not kill him in the car where they've already done most of the work, but instead drag him a mile and a half, which would take approximately 30 minutes under normal average walking conditions, but would probably be slowed down by the barbed wire fences in the way and the very heavy human who he was 6 foot tall, 3 inches, 275 pounds. The murderer would have to be dragging.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he was 6 foot three.
He was 6'3", 275. They dragged him in their conspiracy theory a mile and a half.
After attacking him in the car, he's bleeding, but not dead, possibly still conscious. They'd have to be dragging him for a mile and a half. It's very fair to assume that would take 45 minutes to 50 minutes. Generously to cover that amount of ground in that conditions. The murderers would have had to, for zero reason, risked being out in the open with their victim mid-murder for almost an hour, when at any point he could scream or anyone could accidentally stumble on their path. That makes no sense from any perspective. When it could have, the job that needed to be done could have been done right there in the car. Then, for no reason, they would have to choose an arbitrary spot where, I guess, they walked far enough, where they decide to shoot Terrence in the head, which they very much could have done at any point, or even back at the car. This is a terrible plan, and no one would have done it. It's much easier to rationalize the idea that he had tried to slash his wrists and throat, and realized he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it to the extent that he wanted to end his life, and he couldn't do it that way. The exact reason for leaving the car is anyone's guess. I don't pretend to have any idea what it would be, but it could have been a fear that an errant shot, if he was shooting himself, could have blown up the car and caused excess damage to the field he was in, like a wildfire or
yeah.
something like that. the idea that he would wander towards his childhood hometown, El Reno, which is close to where he ended up, his body was found, and then finish the suicide there makes total sense. I have no idea what the reality is, but there could have been a sentimental attachment to the place where he ended his life, or it could just be as simple as that it's where he fell and ran out of enough strength to carry on. The idea that there was a downward trajectory to the bullet that went through his head.
Okay.
That is another piece of evidence that people bring up as evidence of a murder.
Great.
That's not indicative that he didn't shoot the shot. There are 100 different possible explanations for that. One of the easier ones is that it would be the safest way to shoot yourself. If you're expecting a possible in-and-out shot, an upward trajectory could lead that bullet to hitting someone or something else if it goes up and out. Beyond that, a downward trajectory kind of just feels natural. If you put a fake gun to your head like this, you know, it kind of feels like there's a little bit of a downward trajectory to it.
I suppose I can see that.
Even past that, a person's head could be bowed when they're doing this to themselves, and that would make a downward shot also much more likely.
That seems more reasonable.
So I started to look into his life. That's just the details of the actual event. And that's really hard. Looking into that stuff was really tough because it's ugly, and thinking about that stuff is never fun.
Triggering.
So I read an article in People magazine that was about him, and it said, quote, he joined the Oklahoma City Police in 1990 and was called up for service in the Persian Gulf in December. There his duties included the mass burial of civilians killed in the war. Quote, when he came back, you could tell there was a major change in him, said his sister Vicky. He wasn't the same. There's an incredibly high likelihood that what was happening was that he suffered from PTSD, and this PTSD was re-triggered by his experience in the Oklahoma City bombing. Again, from People. Quote, on the night before his death, sheriff's deputies found him sitting, disoriented in his car by the roadside. They brought him to his sister Vicky's house, where, exhausted, he spoke about the explosion, confiding that he was haunted by the images of dead children and terrified of his own nightmares. Quote, I'm afraid of what I might do, he said. The former Canadian, more details about this specific.
Right.
The former Canadian county sheriff, Clint Bowler, that's the county that El Reno is in, he said, who claims to have known Yakey, doesn't concur with the analysis of the murder. Bowler said that Yakey showed up at his house in El Reno on the afternoon of his death. His car stopped at an angle in the middle of the road. When Bowler and his girlfriend Kate Allen, a paramedic, ran outside, they found a police officer virtually passed out. Quote, he couldn't tell us his name initially, said Allen. He was ill. He was very anxious. His heart rate was rapid. He was sweaty. He told us he'd been having concentration problems. He hadn't slept. He had all the appearances, my first guess would be, of someone who was having emotional problems. And my second guess would be, of course, some kind of substance abuse problem. But that's a pure guess. Basically, they, and this again is a quote from Bowler, quote, basically they, and he's talking about Terrence's family, who he ended up calling to pick him up and ideally take him to the hospital. Terrence refused to go to the hospital, and his family just let him leave.
Of course.
They just let him go, said Bowler. We told those people he needed help. We knew he was suicidal. He had all the classic symptoms. It appears that Terrence suffered from a severe combination of PTSD from the horrors he experienced in the Gulf, mixed with survivor's guilt of not being able to save more people in Oklahoma City, not to mention further PTSD from experiencing that terrorist event as well. Quote, the bombing of the Murrah building deepened Yakey's distress. What others saw as his heroism, he regarded as failure. He'd say, had I not fallen, I could have saved more lives, recalls his biological mother, Almar Jarrah. Terrence fell and hurt his back in his efforts to rescue people at the Murrah building, something that he was deeply ashamed about, and most likely led to him being prescribed opiates to deal with the pain.
Oh, fuck me.
It's unclear if that was the case, but it is said repeatedly that he was on a number of medications, and is a very common prescription that's made in cases of consistent pain. Quote, he was taking medications for his back, said Canadian County Sheriff Clint Bowler. He had 4 or 5 medications in his car. Terrence absolutely was at the Murrah building. He definitively saved 4 to 8 people that day, depending on the source. And there's photographic evidence that he was there. His ex-wife, Tawny Rivera, alleges that he wasn't there, or that he said that he wasn't there, which indicates her either not quoting him well or testifies to him being in a very bad emotional state when he said something along those lines to her. Additionally, in a reflection of behaviors that are unfortunately common in returning soldiers struggling with PTSD, Terrence appears to have had a history of making violent threats. Quote, in a fit of temper, Yakey had once threatened to take his life and those of his wife and children. So he had done, he had been in that sort of state after the, bombing.
That dude was fucked.
It makes zero sense that, quote, they would wait 13 months to kill this person who had allegedly seen evidence that the whole thing was a setup. Many of the arguments that are made involving his fall, that happened while he was in his rescue efforts, during the rescue efforts, have to do with the idea that he fell through some floors and then saw undetonated bombs down there.
Which is made with
zero evidence of anything. They're people just making stuff up. In the absence of any truth or factually based indication that that is the case, people say that that, is what he was dealing with. This is pure fiction, using some basic details, like the fall, the tragic suicide, etc., and forcing them to fit the predetermined conclusion that these people want to push forth, i.e. white terrorism is never real, it's always false flags done by the government meant to demonize white people and take away guns. It's incredibly disgraceful.
Yep.
The story goes, God, I don't know how much more of this I have to read. Oh, boy. So
I'm going to be honest, I think we're good.
No, because I need to explain to you, I'll try and do this quickly. I need to explain to you that, like, the reason that people think that there is something conspiratorial here is not based on any real evidence of anything. It's all statements that his ex-wife, Tony Rivera, has made.
Yeah.
They all trace back to her, and they don't make sense. Like, I've looked through the claims that she's made. They have no backing. There's no support to them. They're nonsensical to a certain extent. So just really quick, one of the stories, or the story that Alex would believe, is that Terrence Yakey was handcuffed and horribly beaten in his experience at the end of his life.
Sure.
The conspiracy sites allege that he had someone else's blood on him. However, this is not from any official report.
Of course not.
Quote, while Dr. Larry Balding, Oklahoma City's chief medical examiner, quickly ruled the death a suicide, another medical examiner's report would, according to Tony Rivera, surface like an eerie, prescient message from the grave. This is something that his ex-wife is alleging. This mysterious second medical examiner's report doesn't even necessarily exist based on any evidence
you
can come up with.
Actually, I did get a hold of it, and the report said that Terry Balding, great hair.
Yeah.
A lot of hair.
Amazing.
Amazing hair.
It's like a tall guy named Minnie.
Yeah.
Smalls.
Oh. Like a tall guy named Minnie?
I don't know. But but think about this. Think about it. Why would that second medical examiner's report exist? In what universe would that exist? Why would it be created? Why would it also just be alleged by this ex-wife?
Who is that guy? Where is that guy? Was he commissioned? Why would the government, if they were trying to cover things up,
it's absurd.
Hire another guy to get the real story?
It's completely absurd.
That doesn't make any sense.
So the other further evidence about this goes like this. Quote, while attending a social function, Rivera claims her sister had a chance encounter with a mortician who worked on Yakey's body. She was discussing the strange inconsistencies of his death with someone at the party when the mortician, not knowing the woman was Rivera's sister, spoke up. Quote, that sounds like just like a police officer we worked on in Oklahoma City, he said. When asked if the man happened to be Terrence Yakey, the mortician freaked. Apparently, Terrence Yakey's murderers and those covering up his death had not counted on this particular mortician's testimony. That is not a credible story in any way.
They didn't count on... Oh! The mortician! We didn't think about the mortician!
Shit.
Oh, damn it!
This story that's being told is a completely unnamed alleged mortician that Rivera is claiming that Terrence's sister ran into at an unspecified social function who out of nowhere brings up that he had seen evidence of a horrible cover-up of a murder of a policeman who was involved in the Oklahoma City bombing name the mortician clearly remembered.
You get drunk at a wake.
The circumstances of the story are absurd and without further backing, like the mortician's name, the statement that he made, him coming forward, etc. This means nothing. It's just another piece of dubious information coming from Miss Rivera. Now, here's the problem.
What's Miss Rivera's axe to grind?
She has a vested interest in him not having committed suicide.
Insurance?
Yeah.
There we go. There it is.
I'm not saying that's 100% the reason that she would do this. I understand also grief. I also understand that some people are just kind of like to make stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, there's those sorts of things.
Where would we meet those people?
Right.
We've never heard of them.
There's those sorts of aspects. But at the same time, there was a pension that she stood to be allowed if it wasn't a suicide.
Yeah.
And she has a very strong financial interest in terms of making it seem like it. And again, I just have to be clear because I know nothing about her except for that her statements that she's made that most of the conspiracies about this guy revolve around and go back to don't make sense.
Are factually inaccurate.
Or there's nothing behind them. You can't find anything. And just when you look at them, like, that doesn't make sense. That would be right. A huge problem. That would someone would definitely have documented that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist. And at the same time, she has a fucking reason, in terms of getting the insurance money. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. So this has been my very long way of saying Alex finally brought up a specific about Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And I looked into it and I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it one bit. Anyway.
You got him.
Yeah. Get him. So.
Hold on. Somebody knocking at the door.
I don't want to do a busted about this. It's too gross because I do feel bad for the guy.
I don't know what to tell you. This guy was fucked.
I mean, I totally.
This guy never had a chance. Like, that's the brutal situation. And he became a hero.
Yeah.
Like, he never had a chance and he did something so valuable with his life and it's fucked up.
It's a tragic hero along with the, like, threatening to kill his kids and shit.
Yeah, there's no win.
No, there's no way we can sit here and paint him as an entirely positive figure, but the idea of turning him into someone who was going to unleash this information again 13 months after he would have had that fall, when he could have done any of this at any point or told people definitively what he was going to reveal,
right,
or have any of his things on a dead drop. It's just Alex Jones trying to create and Alex Jones and this Charles Key guy trying to create a character in their story, much the same way Alex has been trying to do with Anthony Bourdain after his suicide.
Right, right.
It's the same sort of behavior, and it's incredibly disgraceful.
Also, Charles Key?
Charles Key.
Chuck?
Chucky. He also won, I believe, the election right before this to the Oklahoma State Legislature.
Of course he did. Of goddamn course he did.
Unopposed.
Fucking fine.
So he won on a technicality.
God damn it.
So in this next clip, we get to greener pastures.
Okay.
Now, we live in a world in 2018 where everyone is screaming at members of the Trump campaign and not allowing them to eat dinner.
Happily.
And it's delightful.
It's wonderful.
Alex is not into it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what does he say about this sort of behavior 9 years ago?
I'm going to say it's okay to scream at Obama officials.
Hmm.
I'm not saying do this. I'm saying this is what the Founding Fathers did. They beat up public officials.
Yep.
I'm just telling you what they did in the decade leading up to 1775 when the British came to confiscate the guns.
Sanders needs to get her ass kicked.
Handed out flyers exposing corruption.
Beat the shit out of her.
They would shun bureaucrats. If a bureaucrat was sitting in a tavern eating a steak, they'd walk up and say, "You're a piece of filth and a piece of garbage." And they'd harry him and they'd call him out in church and they'd scream at him.
Talk shit, get hit.
There you go.
I mean,
Stephen Miller should have two black eyes so big he can't see.
It's tough to get around like him being like, that's what the Founding Fathers would do. So have
I agree. I agree, Alex. We finally agree.
Have that, DSA.
Time
get
to
out there and
beat the shit out of these people.
Yeah. So I actually got to be honest. I want to get back to the OKC thing really quick here just because I feel like I didn't make my point perfectly clear.
I think your point was that Carmelo had a terrible season
this
year.
Terrible.
And he should not have been.
He's overrated.
They called it the big three. He had a good run.
The point that I was trying to make about this, just because it's such a umbrella thing, the narrative that he's pushing about these states declaring their sovereignty is very clearly in service of those beliefs that he has about Oklahoma City. He's using this narrative in order to hope that something happens in one of those states, and then he could be like, it's just like Oklahoma City over again.
Okay.
I just had to make that clear because I'm not sure if I made that point.
Okay, so what you're saying is immediately, like his point is immediately after Oklahoma originally did the thing.
Right.
Then the bombing happened.
To teach him a lesson.
So now he's bringing attention to all of these states as like a roll in the dice.
Yes.
Like, hey, if something happens in any one of these, damn, I got another OKC. I can make hay.
He's setting the table.
Yeah.
In what it's very clearly obvious that that's what he's doing.
Gotcha. Preparatory.
Once you get a smell of him and you kind of get used to it, it's so clear what he's doing. It's like, please let someone bomb Oklahoma again.
Right.
Let someone hit Arizona, Missouri.
Right.
Just come on.
I want a bombing so bad.
Come on.
Now would be a great time for a false flag. God damn it.
I need validation. It works with my narrative.
Ah.
So, at this point.
I want people to die so I'm right.
Jordan, I will say that I generally hate Alex Jones's callers. They usually suck, with maybe three exceptions over the years we've done this.
Yeah.
The time. This guy enters the pantheon of people who I kind of dig.
Okay.
I'd like you to know that a lot of us couples listen to your show all the time, and my wife made an interesting comment, and I think I'm going to pass it on to you. She would like to see you have more women that are involved in the Patriot movement and the Second Amendment movement on your show as guests. That's just a hint she wanted to pass along.
Also, your website sucks.
Your website's an abortion. Do you hear that at the end there? He's like, that's just a hint.
Just a hint.
Just a hint.
A lot of couples listen to your show, and it's...
Hey, Alex.
It's all straight white dudes.
All old, weird, anti-communist John Birch Society dudes.
Maybe you should have some women in the Patriot... Oh, there aren't. Oh.
I have Charlotte Iserbeat on... I can't remember any other ladies he has on. I guess Schlafly sometimes.
She
rare.
Went on the show?
Yeah, she's been on a couple times.
Phyllis?
Yeah, yeah. Remember she was on that episode that Roger Stone first appeared
on? Oh, that's right.
Right before she died.
Yeah. Not soon enough.
So that caller, I give him credit for-
Also, by the way, fuck Krauthammer. He can go fucking die again.
Sure. Yeah. So that's a caller who I like. I dig that guy being like, my wife wants you to know you don't have ladies on, and I fucking agree with her, but I'm still going to make it her comment.
It's
that sort of thing?
It's a very weird Alex Jones caller.
Yeah, because he's a hillbilly.
Especially with his, he's like, well, I'm just a down-home country hillbilly, but I think the Equal Pay Act should have been passed 40 years ago. That's all I'm trying to say.
Now, Alex, I do declare you need to respect the voice of the ladies. Where are the women on your show, Alex? it's like a fucking feminist foghorn Leghorn.
Nah. See, boy, I don't think they should be allowed to vote, but you should represent them on your show.
That's not fair. I bet this guy is totally into women voting.
He sounds like such a contradiction, this guy.
Totally.
I love
That's why I like it.
Yeah.
So I like that caller.
He's just got one progressive streak in him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's a normal Alex Jones listener. But for some reason, he's got a good wife.
Something to build on.
Yeah.
So I like that caller. I don't like this next caller much.
You hear about that guy's wife and what she said? Fuck that lady.
She's a bitch.
I distribute quite a few of copies of your film out to people.
Here we go.
Have you heard of anybody else that has, been more or less what a friend of mine called black bagged. Back several weeks ago, when me and the wife came in, we detected that somebody had been in the house, maybe. There didn't seem to be anything missing or disturbed too much, and I thought it was just our imagination until I looked at the original copies of your DVDs, and every last one of them, it looked like somebody took sandpaper and went from one side to the other on.
Stay there. I'll tell you what's going on when we get back.
Okay.
I had something to finish with. My wife also said you don't have enough women.
Need more ladies. So this guy
broke in.
This guy got black bag
to his apartment home.
It's black bag.
And
he got black
nothing
bag.
Nothing was moved.
You don't need to describe it. He got black bag.
But somebody.
Everyone knows what black bagging is.
Pulled out the DVDs. So somebody, first off, knew this guy. This is an inside job.
Undoubtedly.
Somebody knows that he has these DVDs
the,
in there.
Probably the feds.
He's probably, not just that. Maybe he's blabbed. Maybe he was at a local bar. Now we've got a Fed in-house.
Mm, so many possibilities.
Terrifying.
But
terrifying.
This is the game that you play when you get out there and you try and push Patriot DVDs. So I would say, if I were Alex, I'd be like, sir, do you have any pets? That'd be my first question. And then I would say, hey, where are you keeping those DVDs? Is it possible that you kept them in like an unsafe place and you ended up scratching them? Because that happens a whole bunch.
I did leave them dangling precariously above my circuit saw.
And
yes.
My sandpaper collection. My sandpaper.
My sandpaper collection.
My sandpaper garden. I did done keep them in my sandpaper garden.
He's got See, now I'm imagining like a philatelist, like a, he's got them all on pins.
Now, most of my furniture is cactus based. Like, what the fuck? There's 100 explanations I could come up with for how a DVD gets scratched other than someone
now,
breaks in.
All of my blankets are woven from my own stubble. So yes, that could be a possibility.
I consider my blankets to be stubble binded.
All right.
Come on.
All right. Might as well.
I feel like that should be a push.
That's, all right. That's a push.
So, Alex did say that we'll get back to it. I'll tell you what's going on. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, he's not going to get back to this guy.
No, he's totally getting back to him. Are you shitting? No. The moment he said, you stay right there, I heard in his voice, we're black bagging talking the rest of the show.
And he does.
Okay, we are going back to Kurt in Texas. Kurt, just some background. Let me guess. You live in a small town.
Not too small a town.
Where do you live?
Abilene.
Kind of small.
Oh, Abilene is probably one of the worst. You know, that's where the Bushies hang out, that in Midland.
Sure.
We see some of the worst cases in that area time and time again.
So many black.
And what happens is people that give out hundreds or thousands of copies, and this has ended up in the newspaper. I don't know if you heard me tell the Kelly Rushing case. He was giving out my video and a Ron Paul video, and they charged him for my video and the Ron Paul video, saying it was threatening to police that they didn't like it. And it went to court, and the jury found him not guilty.
This happened in 2004. I don't know the details of it. The only like information I can find are from like Ron Paul forums,
right?
And I don't and Prison Planet articles, and I don't trust
right.
those.
No.
So I have no idea. There's probably more to this story, but I have no idea.
Of terroristic threats through the videos. Very nice guy in the community, and he couldn't believe that it happened. But yes, they probably went in your house looking for something illegal.
Probably.
They couldn't find anything and they got mad. And see, you've got these federally paid for anti-terror liaison officers in every department. A lot of them in big departments.
I don't know who those people are.
They had nothing to do. There are no real terrorists. But like the federal marshal said last year, in the case of airports, a little kid taking a picture with a camera, they're on the terror list for life.
Nope.
Anything. Order a different meal on the plane, terror list for life. They said, this is wrong, but we have to show there's a terror threat. So these guys don't like the fact you're handing videos out in town. I mean, have you handed a lot out?
Yes.
How many?
I don't know.
Ballpark.
Four?
Around 300, 400.
Whoa. Well, the answer is you just hand out even more.
Okay.
Sure. That's a good answer.
So that weaves to kind of a sales pitch a little bit. I don't know, man. I don't feel like it's good to reinforce people's paranoia like that.
I mean, in the,
I feel like that's very unhealthy.
The FBI did absolutely entrap people into terrorism.
Yeah.
But wasn't black bagging white people. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if you know anything about the FBI. Long history.
Oh, they've done so much shit, terrible things, but they wouldn't waste their time breaking into someone's house to scratch Alex Jones DVDs.
No, in Abilene? Absolutely they would.
That seems like such a waste. They're so easy to get. You could just burn another copy from the freely available internet source of them. So there's that. So now you got that, what you, aha.
You actually just wind up getting another Encarta CD.
We have wasted 2 hours of this old dude's time. Aha. Victory for the feds. What? I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. There's such a benign explanation that his dog just fucking scratched them or something. Like, there's 100 different explanations. And Alex
I like that
so,
this is where his mind goes first.
It's so disgraceful that he's just like, yeah, probably the feds broke into your house, and what you need to do is become even more radicalized to my team.
Sounds right.
I mean, it's good. If we did stuff like that, it would be like our numbers would be much better than they are now. But
well, to any of our wonks out there, think of anything that's unusual.
You get a weird phone call.
Alex Jones did it.
Yep. Now you're sounding like his ex-wife. So we have one more clip here. Alex wants to make you scared about how the military doesn't exist anymore.
What?
And all the esprit de corps, George Washington, all of it.
That
Iwo
bullshit.
Jima, it's all gone. It's all over. Just
nobody
like when Hitler took over
fuck.
The military. I'm sorry. Are the individual troops bad? No. But all this brainwashing and we've got to worship what they do, that's getting you ready for them here in the United States, and that's on record now. I'll get to all your calls tomorrow. We're just flat out of time. At the start of the show, I cover how they're going to ration health care. This is so incredible. This isn't the Republicans claiming this. This is the Democrats saying it. Before we go any further, gold is still
God
up at the 920 level.
Cool.
Didn't see that one coming.
Didn't?
I didn't see that in 2009, man. He didn't have that kind of skill level. That was pretty solid.
It is.
That was a harsh turn.
It's
that was
jarred.
Good.
It's
that was
jarred.
Good.
But the reason that it's 2009 style is that, like, it's not smooth.
No.
You know, like, he will give you whiplash in the present day, but it'll be like, oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. You caught me off guard. You caught me unawares, but I liked it.
See,
that was
I was
just like, eh.
I'm lulled into a false sense of security by 2009.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we're still in such a larval stage of his
right.
ad pivots. That one sounded real tight.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, again, this is the primordial ooze from which the modern day ad pivots will eventually
yes.
come. So Jordan, over this course, the thing that I think is the most important is that one of Alex Jones's pillars in his Oklahoma City narrative is bullshit.
Right.
And as we go on and he says more specifics, I'll find out
what
the truth
of those
are, too.
We'll find out what bullshit those are, yeah.
But also beyond that, this narrative of the states are declaring their sovereignty is very relevant to modern day stuff because sovereignty is what he has a boner for now. It's very relevant that he's only really using that as an interstitial way to set the table to make propaganda if an attack happens in
right.
one of those states. And it's clear because he never is dealing with the fact that all of those resolutions are the same. All of those House resolutions that are put in by all these states are the same, and they're coming from the same people. They are a coordinated group of quote-unquote patriot
right.
weirdos
right.
who are doing this. He's trying to present it as like it's burgeoning up
a
in all of these states.
Movement. Yeah.
And that's not the case at all. And he's also not dealing with the fact that in the same way that he doesn't address that those FEMA camp bills that he so makes people so scared of aren't real and they'd never made it out of committee. Most of these don't make it out of committee. And most of the time people are like, we don't have to make a resolution that the law is the law. We're not scared that a black guy is the president.
Mm.
And that's really what's driving the other half of this. And it's, I mean, it's terrible. This is just a terrible state of affairs.
Yeah.
So we should wrap this
it's
up.
It's just so ironic. It is a never ending source of irony for me that immediately after Obama got elected, the conservative media went hard into him turning into a tyrant, putting people in camps, doing all of this shit. And then at their first opportunity, they elect a guy who does all the shit that they thought Obama was going to do.
I'm really glad you brought that up because that's a good cliffhanger for our episode that will come out tomorrow. We are doing an episode that will come out Tuesday as an emergency.
Oh, no. Are we going back to the present day?
Nope.
Okay, thank God.
Still in the past, but that is a cliffhanger to
all
consider
right.
what you just
cliffhanger.
Said. But until then, if you want more of our show, you can check us out at knowledgefight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
You can go to Facebook.
Facebook.
You can check us out on iTunes. Please leave a review.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
I hear that helps.
Man.
We need help. People like helping us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need help in terms of growing the audience. We
right.
don't need any help in terms of our audience being awesome.
No. Absolutely not.
It's a very conflicting headspace to be in where
right.
it's like, man,
we kind of don't want more of you, but on the other side of that, we need a whole lot more.
We
of
want
you.
More of you. We don't
we
want
more
people.
Of you. Yeah. Fuck people.
Yeah.
We want, like you guys.
Want more good-hearted, interesting, smart people.
Yes. And so unlike most shows that want to become big, guys, keep this real quiet.
Don't snitch.
Don't snitch. Tell people you know are cool.
Right.
Let them hear about the show. We want to gain one listener at a time.
Pretend like we are people selling drugs.
Yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You got to know a guy to listen to this show.
That was a terrible plan.
We're bad at this.
All right, so we're going to get out of here, and it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
And there's no way that I would end this episode in any other way than saying former Oklahoma Representative Charles Key, go fuck Chucky. Yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.